Are you ready to create a balanced, joyful life, rich in purpose and meaning? Do you long for a deeper connection with what you're doing, who you really are? Creating a Spirited Life with host Janet Kesenek explores the everyday experiences and encounters that puzzle and enlighten us. Guided by new ideas, perspectives, and at times humor, you'll create the harmonious, spirited life you're meant to live. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Creating a Spirited Life will enrich your experience and ease your way through this work in progress we call life.
Welcome to Creating a Spirited Life. I'm Janet Kesenek, your host, and you're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. This show is heard live every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. You can also tune into the show on our internet station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, where we're heard weekly on Thursdays at 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Well, welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining the conversation on Creating a Spirited Life, where we bring together our thoughts, questions, and perspectives on a variety of topics and issues that help us discover the meaning, purpose, and joy that comes from creating and living a spirited life. Listeners, you're invited to call in with your thoughts, comments, and questions throughout the show. You can reach us at 617-237-1234, and we would really enjoy hearing from you. You're also invited to be in touch during the week through my website, spiralenergies.com, where you can leave a comment, request a show topic, sponsor a show, or listen to previous broadcasts, all at spiralenergies.com. And I also invite you to like my Facebook page, Creating a Spirited Life, where you'll see regular Wednesdays wisdoms postings, other things of interest, and announcements. That's at facebook.com/creatingaspiritedlife. I do respond to your emails and will write you back, and would invite you to let me know of any people or situations you'd like me to hold in the light for you for love and healing. I'd be honored to be of help in that way. Well, we are, beginning our show tonight. Our topic is silence, the golden connection, and my conversation guest is Becky Phipps. Becky is a Quaker teacher and workshop leader who lives in the Boston area and who teaches in the two-year program called On Being a Spiritual Nurturer, which is part of the School of the Spirit based in Philadelphia. Becky has been my conversation partner on numerous shows where we've talked about spiritual practice, one-word resolutions, and blessings. These shows can be heard in the Dream Vision 7 archives as well as in the archives at spiralenergies.com. Becky, welcome back.
Thank you, Janet. It's good to be here again.
Oh, thank you for joining the conversation again. It's really nice to have you here. And here we go.
And here we go.
Fourth show, right? Well, you know, Becky, the idea of talking about silence, which is has a certain irony in it, but it came to me as an important topic for our show. And it was interesting to mention this topic to people as the upcoming topic. And it was very engaging. People said, oh, silence, that's a good topic. And I think it's interesting how people were attracted to that topic. It's relevant in our very, very noisy lives, don't you think?
Oh, yes. The fact that they were attracted says just about everything.
It really does. It does.
Right.
It's such
right.
an important quality in general, and especially, I think, in a spiritual practice. But hopefully our spirituality is part of our lives in general also, so it just ties in. And also, you know, we're doing this show here in November. Week and a half or so before the Thanksgiving holiday, mm-hmm. and then we enter into the other seasonal holidays coming up. And what's already a noisy life just ramps up, I think, and gets even busier, louder at this time of year. It's a challenge, don't you think?
It is. It is. And it's for that reason that there are many spiritual communities that actually choose this time of year when it is at the darkest to practice silence, to practice inner listening.
Right.
So it's a very interesting, in one sense, commercially, it's ramping up.
Yeah.
And spiritually, it's going inward and quieting down.
Nice. Yes, that's so true. I think I was thinking about it, and if I apply the quality and the word of festive to this time, that has a nice feel to it. I can enjoy festive. I can manage festive. But we need to also be balanced and grounded, I think, in order to keep festive from becoming frantic.
Yes, exactly. Balance is very, very essential, and especially, again, given the time of year when we're so influenced by what's happening naturally as well as in the wider culture, to keep and maintain our balance helps us stay steady and healthy. Quakers use the term grounded.
So do energy healers.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I think grounded is a really important quality that we lose track of very easily. The energy spirals up and out, and we're flying around, you know. And people don't even realize sometimes that they aren't grounded until they suddenly, you know, maybe come back into grounding, or we can have a crash landing, right? So all of that is to say, if we are conscious about this and start to begin to cultivate silence or recognize some of the aspects of it that might be helpful to us, we're going to be ahead of the game, and we aren't going to crash and burn. We're going to be able to maintain a nice sense of equilibrium and balance.
Yes, yes. Think of silence as one of the essential nutrients to a good life.
That's really nice. Well, do you remember the old saying, silence is golden?
Yes.
And I think that it's a beautiful concept, and our title for the show is about silence being a golden connection, and we're going to talk about that. But unfortunately, I feel as though our culture might be drawn to silence, but we aren't really cherishing it as a golden commodity that it is when we say silence is golden, you know?
Right, right. But we keep hearing of more and more people who are saying, enough.
Yes.
I'm out of kilter. And they're looking for something.
Yes.
So there is a dawning recognition and much deeper on the part of others.
Right.
But you're right. It's there. It's springing up in resistance, really, to being pushed along into more activity than feels right. It's
right.
Unsettling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, in our preparation for the show, we talked about the irony of talking about silence for an hour, whereas it would be lovely to be able to simply be silent. And the funny thing about being on the radio and talking about silence is that there is an automatic, you know, startup mechanism if there is too much long uninterrupted silence on a radio show. So we cannot even have a full minute, I think, of actual silence because it's considered, I love this term, dead air.
Dead air, right?
But we can take one or two moments, and I'll play the Tibetan singing bowl in the background while you and I and our listeners just kind of settle into this moment in this conversation with a few moments without words. All right?
Yes.
Here we go. Nice. Nice.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. That's lovely. So, you know, there is a gift in silence. There are many gifts. Let's play back and forth a little bit. A couple qualities that come to mind for you and I. Well, you know, give me one, I'll give you one for silence.
Okay.
In a nice calm back and forth tennis match.
Sure, sure. So I'm gonna bring in some of our Quaker folks here.
Okay.
So we have George Fox, who said, you know, to be still and cool in your own mind and spirit, you know, to be cool from your own thoughts, and that takes you into the divine principle.
Nice.
So I love that coolness.
Coolness.
Yes.
That's lovely. And he mentioned, you also used the word stillness.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Still and cool.
So I also associate peace and calm.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.
and that it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a way. It's like breathing. As a matter of fact, you often will find the two together: mm-hmm. silence and the breath. Paying attention to breathing.
Right.
So it refreshes the body, refreshes the spirit,
and with that refreshment comes restoration, which I think is such
restoration.
A powerful
yes.
word. Powerful
right.
word.
Right.
Nurturance mm-hmm. in the silence. I mean, we're talking about silence at its best, where we're truly at one with the silence. Right? Any
yes.
any other thoughts from you?
Well, I think that's a good start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it can be restful and blissful. Silence can also be exciting. I mean, there are very many aspects to silence, but there are also some ways that silence can be challenging, and I think it's important mm-hmm. to think about those, because obviously we have a mixed relationship with silence in our culture, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But mm-hmm. silence can also be tense.
Tense, yes. And, you know, for as long as there have been people paying attention to their spirit, the practice of silence has been something that's fearful, because who am I if I'm being silent, if I'm not expressing myself? Right. And then how do you wrestle with what the mystics and the monastics would call the wilderness of the soul? So
right.
you're going into a place of unknowing that feels fearful as you're listening. And so it's a really important thing to pay attention to what's happening in you. Do you feel like that you're in a wilderness?
Right. And it's true that if there's a loud noise or something startles us, we go into stillness and silence. You know, mm-hmm. it's like a protective mm-hmm. response, isn't it? And so there is that association with silence. Everything comes to a stop. There's something wrong, you know. Mm. So it's very interesting. It must be part of that fight or flight kind of syndrome that comes in. Silence can also sometimes be associated with being sad or lonely, you know?
Yes, or being silenced.
Right, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it is a mixed topic, you know, it's a mixed feeling. And
yes.
and we're here to kind of sort that out
mm-hmm.
and really consider the gifts of silence, as well as what makes it uncomfortable for us and how we can work mm-hmm. with that mm-hmm. and come through it. So because when we are truly in a place of connection with silence that is comfortable and deep, it's a blissful experience. You know, my husband Lawrence loves to tell a story about being, I think he was in Switzerland and in the middle of a snowstorm, and he climbed up into this area that was a park, and no one was around,
mm-hmm.
nothing was around, and the sound of the snow, or the only thing that was happening was the silent snowflakes coming down, mm-hmm. must not have been wind. He said it was utterly quiet, and he felt so at peace. He said, I felt like I could die right then and be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it was that sort of utter place of bliss and internal connection with mm-hmm. spirit and the divine. And he was okay. You know, mm-hmm. it was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's the kind of utter peace that we're invited to find through silence and the deep spirit of that.
Yes, and I think, you know, for those of us who live in areas where we do get snow, mm-hmm. and particularly when you're a child, there is something awesome about that hush
mm-hmm.
in a silent snowfall.
Yes.
If you're in the woods, and that's a very natural place where you can go for silence,
mm.
because you're rather awestruck by what's happening.
Yes.
And so snowfall is a very apt way to understand what it is to be hushed in an environment that feels both intimate and magnificent.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Beautifully mm-hmm. put. Thank mm-hmm. you. Well, you know, given these beautiful qualities of peace and contentment and stillness, you know, the question comes to mind, why do we have to actually create silence in our lives? why are we afraid and resistant to silence and resistant to doing that? And is there a deeper source, an inner resource and source that comes out of the silence that we can really connect into? I think we would both say, yes, there is.
But. Oh, there is. There is. And you know, it's like many things. You need to learn how to practice it.
Yeah. And that starts with being comfortable with it. But, you know, but first of all, that the cultural issue, which probably we all immediately understand the answer to, our culture doesn't honor, celebrate, cultivate, or practice very much silence, unless you might be a Quaker, which which is one reason why I definitely wanted to talk with a Quaker about this topic. But Quakerism aside, we all need silence, and we need to take a very serious page from the Quakers in learning how to cultivate this. But, you know, where the conversation goes, our computers and our phones and the internet and the social media and the TVs and the sports games and, you know, and the draw to that. Talk to me. I think you used the phrase our cultural addiction to stimulation.
Yes, yes. Well, of course, you know, all we have to do is go anywhere now, and we see people all plugged into something with their various devices. And in some ways, I think that is a way to block out stimulus around, but it still is keeping one into some kind of a stimulation.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I was talking about silence being refreshing. One of the favorite quotes that I have from William Penn, who was early Quaker, you know, that true silence is to the spirit what sleep is to the body.
Yes.
You know, it's nourishing and it's refreshing.
Yes.
And so with too much noise, our bodies end up in a different kind of rhythm. We're agitated.
Right.
And there's such a simple kind of solution, which is to go someplace and sit quietly.
Yes, yes. Well, and, you know, the whole issue of sleep and rest, I mean, this brings into the conversation not only silence in terms of sound, but then stillness.
Stillness.
And the incredible importance of stillness. However, I think that this is part of what comes along for us. And again, you know, in our consciousness, we might not associate all of these things, but I think there is some unconscious association. I think sometimes stillness in a certain way might imply passivity. It might imply boredom to people. Some people might associate it with aging. You know, you can't get around anymore. And so this link of silence and stillness can sometimes work against those of us who want to promote this as a spiritual practice, because we just have these associations. Do you feel that's true? I don't mean everyone all the time.
Well,
but I think it can come in.
Right. And so we do have to cultivate our awareness that there's another interpretation, that there's another experience, that there is something within us that yearns to be still. To slow down. And so I can understand if someone feels like, well, that means then, am I still relevant?
Yeah.
Am I still here? Am I still important? Whatever the need is.
Right.
Again, we need to pay attention. There's another need also.
Yeah.
And so how do we keep those in balance?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that stillness and silence then can seem like a void, you know, an emptiness, and then there can be a bleakness in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's interesting is to maybe recognize that and also recognize that there is this maybe too much of a discrepancy between the 100 miles an hour that our lives go at with stillness, you know. And
right.
Maybe there are some ways of easing ourselves into stillness and even silence that give us a little bit more gradations in. For example, were you telling me about an active silence?
Yes, the
program?
Active silence, right. That's just a time where you invite a couple of people or more. We have used this in various Quaker activities where We invite people to, you know, bring a book, bring knitting, bring your pens and your paper you want to draw, and you find some place comfortable. It's nice if you can have a fire. It doesn't really matter. But that together you sit in a companionable silence, keeping the silence together. Your hands may be busy or whatever, but
and your eyes
to share
can be
that.
Open.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Right. Again, because you can be reading or journaling, drawing, and people find that very restful and, again, very companionable.
Yeah.
And it's also a practice. I mean, before there was radio, before there was television and all this other stuff, people would do that. So I would say that for the majority of human history, there's been a fair amount of active silence with people sewing or repairing things. And when you try it, It is. It's, again, it's very refreshing.
Well, and it's different from the Quaker meeting expectation, which might be to be silent and have your eyes closed and be still in a prayerful meditation, or that's simply a meditation practice that any of us might have.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is a nice little halfway.
It's a halfway.
It's a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say we have. I learned this from a friend in Michigan, a Quaker, and every New Year's Day, he would say, "We're going to have a silent day. We're going to have some activity, but we're going to be silent."
Nice.
And
nice.
So we've tried it at our house, and it's great. People love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to realize that stillness doesn't have to be a package deal with silence. You don't have to have exactly that. And we'll talk later on about some other practices that might be helpful for that, to bring us into that. But we still need to get into, as soon as we get back from break, we need to get back into, you know, what is that golden connection that we're really getting into? And we've touched on it, but I want to go a little deeper.
Sure.
So, Becky, stay with me.
Let's do
and
that.
Listeners, we'll be right back shortly. Thank you.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenick of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today. Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Thank you.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX, Boston. I'm Janet Kesnick, and this is Creating a Spirited Life, where Quaker teacher and philosopher, Quaker philosopher, Becky Phipps is staying with me and helping me out with this conversation around silence, the golden connection. And we were talking about kind of the cultural resistance to silence, and yet there is a deep draw because people are attracted to this idea. We realize that maybe we wear our busyness like a status symbol. We realize that we want more silence in our lives, but it's a very big challenge to say, you know, okay, I can unplug for a little while. And I think that, you know, we're by realizing that there are some maybe that feels too frightening in a way, or there's something about that empty space that is a little bit intimidating. Thinking of it from a different perspective, I think, will be of help. Don't you, Becky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, in fact, there's a wonderful, and just to sort of set the stage for this, there's a wonderful quote from Simone Weil that says, "Grace fills empty spaces, but it can only enter where there is a void to receive it." And it is grace itself which makes this void. So,
you know, that's lovely.
That's an interesting way. So, so all right. So, if silence is, you know, it is the absence of something, but it is also the presence of everything. So, what is this golden connection? What are we connecting into? Why are we talking about the importance of being in silence? What are we going to find there? How do we get there?
Well, peace.
Yeah.
Peace. Recognizing that it can also be a big jolt, that you can feel uncomfortable, but that many people long for peace. And they say peace and quiet.
Right.
I would like some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Many people, you know, who are aware of silent retreats will find themselves fantasizing about going on a silent retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Could I just be someplace where somebody's holding that space and inviting me into silence?
Right.
And that, you know, you can be wistful about that. It's like, could I arrange that? And it's like, well, actually you could. There are lots of ways that you can find organizations, retreat centers. So that's part of it, just peace and quiet,
right,
to refresh and restore, as you said, the body, the mind, the soul.
Right, right.
Right.
Well, you know, and it's sadly, frighteningly, it's a tool of torture to deprive prisoners of sleep, to deprive them of silence.
Yes.
You know, music is played continuously at a loud volume.
Right.
Lights are left on all the time. I mean, it's a deprivation that is a torture for us. So this, you know, in an extreme way, this tells us how vital this is for us.
Yes.
To have, and I was realizing that the word restoration, which we mentioned mm-hmm. as one of the gifts of the qualities of silence,
mm-hmm.
it has its root word is rest.
Right.
So if we don't rest the body, rest mm-hmm. the all of the senses,
mm-hmm.
and rest the spirit within there, we do burn out. We mm-hmm. we can't make it. But you know, I've wondered sometimes if sort of the MO around meditation is almost asks it. There's so much emphasis on emptying our minds mm-hmm. and being in stillness that, you know, maybe that's where we go into that worry about the void. And, mm-hmm. you know, so when we think about unplugging, our thought today is, yeah, we are unplugging and in a sense coming into some emptiness and quiet. But the idea is what we are plugging into.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that sense of spirit, that true spirit within, the divine within.
Mm-hmm.
And through listening for that and even, you know, saying to ourselves just a meditative word of spirit or source
mm-hmm.
or love, then we're not trying to be, you know, no sound in the mind and completely still and void. We're putting in what we're looking for and what is actually there. We're calling it forth in a sense.
Yes. And, you know, I think that it's not helpful to invite people into something where they're going to fully empty their minds, because our minds are made for thinking, and so thoughts are going to be there. It's how we encounter them.
Yes.
My experience with Buddhist practitioners and also with the practice of centering prayer is that it's not that you're not going to have thoughts. It's that you're just going to continue to come back to your intention to center, to be grounded, to rest.
We're using that word a lot.
Right. And a word that we've used before when we've had conversations, to allow what the body will restore itself to, the reset point or, you know,
refresh button.
Right. To come back to that. And that it's physical. It's truly physical.
Right.
So we want to bring the mind and the body back together. And also, I would add the soul,
the soul spirit
is present in that as well. The spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think that the spirit is what we're plugging into.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I sit and do my quiet time, which is more of a quiet time than it is what I would call a trained and traditional meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to myself, you know, okay, my body is resting because I'm sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind is trying to calm down a little bit. And this is the time when I'm really shining the spotlight on spirit. This is the spirit time. This is the recharge the spirit time. So let that forward, bring that into the consciousness, and that helps, you know, rather than thinking as my mind being quiet or, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So again, it comes back to, well, so it's such a subtle distinction between going silent, entering into silence, and being silenced, which is a repression. And that's really not what this is. It's really important to understand.
Right.
That it's not about repression. It's really about kind of being bathed in a new spirit.
Right. I think that's so important because I do feel that, you know, the casual person flirting with the idea of meditation does feel like I'm supposed to be quiet, you know, and even prayerful, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to think instead I'm allowing in spirit, I'm mm-hmm. allowing in something that often gets pushed off to the side or I've never really fully consciously invited in. It's a whole different experience.
Right. And so we bring back into this, a competitive spirit that somehow we're supposed to do X, Y, Z, and that we should be accomplished at this.
Right.
So
and then the goal, and then we find inner peace.
Right, right. And actually where the inner peace comes is from kindness. Mm-hmm. And a sense of humor and a light touch with oneself.
Sure.
And not with slamming oneself into, I need to do this and this and
shackling
this.
Shackling ourselves, yes.
Right,
yes.
Right.
You know, Wayne Dyer, this spiritual teacher who actually just died not too long ago, he had a beautiful quote that I want to share. He said, make peace with silence and remind yourself that it is in this space, and I like the use of the word space, that you'll come to remember your spirit. Mm. When you're able to transcend an aversion to silence, you'll also transcend many other miseries. And it is in this silence that the remembrance of God will be activated.
Yes, that's
that kind of says it all. I'm going to put that on my website.
Yeah.
And that brings to mind the quote, is it from the Psalms?
Oh, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we were talking a little before about that there's a meditation practice with that that I just recently used in an event that I was at where you say, you know, to yourself as a way of quieting, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. It's a way of quieting oneself as you enter into silence.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's Psalm 46:10, I think, yeah.
But I love the take on it, the practice. And
right.
What a nice way to end segment two here. So be while we take a station break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
On Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenick of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of 9 of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, JT started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Janet Kesenick. This is Creating a Spirited Life, where I'm talking with Becky Phipps about silence. Yes, that the irony of talking about silence, but we're doing our best to make a good case for it so you can practice it.
We are.
Do you know, Becky, there is a man named Gordon Hempton who is considered to be, or calls himself, an acoustic ecologist. And he is recording, it's kind of sad, but thank goodness someone's doing this. He's recording the vanishing sounds of nature, like birds, the elks, the waves, you know, and creating soundscapes, in a sense. He's seeking out the last places on the earth that are free from noise created by human disturbances. And he believes that, and this was a while back, that there were fewer than a dozen places left in the United States and none at all in Europe where you can sit for 20 minutes during the day without hearing a plane fly over or hear some other noise from human activity. Isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting.
So, you know, our craving for silence and for not having all of our talk and language and sounds and machines in our lives, I'm thinking it's a primal thing. You know, I don't get out into the woods very much. And if I do, there's probably going to be planes by or, you know, I love being at the ocean when no one else is there because it is just the waves and the birds and the seagulls and stuff. But, you know, it's kind of profound to realize that on the planet there is so little of this space of soundscape left. You know, it's kind of interesting to contemplate. You know, I picked up on the word space from the Wayne Dyer quote. You know, it's so helpful to realize that the space between is not the enemy, right? It's actually what we're craving. And in fact, the space between of silence or in stillness or silence is lack of motion, I'm trying to say, is really the landscape that makes everything else interesting, you know? You can imagine music that doesn't have any rests or pauses or cadence in
exactly.
it. Ouch,
exactly.
You know, it's exhausting. Right. And sometimes that's used for effect, you know, it's sort of like Stephen Glass hammering away, you know, or something, just this continuous kind of sound. But you do need the moment when you wait for the next movement to start and that pause in between.
Yes, that's a really good point.
I mean, we need cadence. I like to think that that's not a common term to use, but it's a good musical term. And music has phrase and pause and breath. Same with visual art. You know, you get a certain effect when there's complete, everything is completely pushed together, but then your eye wants to have... I think there's a reason in art galleries why a painting is hung and then down the wall a little bit after a little blank wall, there's the next painting. You know, we need that space between.
Yes, yeah, there's a whole term for that called liminality.
Ooh.
It's the in-between places where we make transitions from one place to another.
Mm.
And you can be in a liminal place spiritually where you're in a you're between two points, you're having experience transformation. And so that it's interesting to bring that up and talk about cadence and space between.
Yeah.
Right. And so that really is what silence provides, that rest and that space between.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love thinking about dancers also, you know, choreography.
Sure.
And, you know, the amazing activity level that can be, and then when everything stops, or one person stops, and the next person stops, and the next, and eventually that culminated silence. It's extraordinary.
It is.
And we notice it, of course, if an artistic performance is in pause or cadence, and somebody coughs in the audience, you know, and there is a feeling of, oh, ouch, you know.
That's right. They broke a spell that we had all been drawn into.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you say you have another quote you wanted to share?
Oh, well, I was. I found out that there is quite a movement of people who want to live their lives in silence and solitude. It's the movement for hermits and solitaries, people who are really drawn to silence. And there's a website for people who are doing that called Raven's Bread. And that led me to reflecting more on really the mystical element of silence. And Richard Rohr, which many people know about, a Franciscan retreat leader in Albuquerque, was saying that, you know, silence is to balance all our saying with unsaying.
Nice.
To balance our saying with unsaying, and then as I extrapolated from that, and I thought, yes, and the mystery of what's contained in the silence, which I had said before, for some people that feels like wilderness, but the mystery of silence is to balance our knowing with our unknowing. So that's a whole other way to go into a spiritual movement, a spiritual space, if you will, of experimenting with silence.
Right.
If it's nourishing you, if you're feeling restored and you want more. There are people out there who feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we almost haven't remembered to use the word and the concept of listening. And coupled with silence is listening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you start talking into your mic and I start talking into my mic, you know, we can't hear each other, right?
Right.
And so... Right. I need to be silent while you're talking. You need to be silent while I'm talking. And then we can hear each other. And the same is true when we're talking with our highest selves, with spirit,
when
we're listening for the divine, for our intuition, for the voice of God.
That's right.
Know, which so does mystics, come in.
The mystics talk about the unsaying.
And the voice of
interesting
God.
Interesting to consider.
Yes, is not always, it doesn't come out in words either. It's a feeling. I mean, sometimes words, but it's, you know, that unsaying. Say more about the unsaying, Becky.
Well, it's that there is, again, it's both the unsaying and the unknowing that we put our senses, our listening into a different realm. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of desire. It takes patience and willingness to allow that space so that you might hear something that you've said is communicated without words.
Right.
And that's something you can find in the silence, and you something you may desire. And once you tap into that, you will find yourself wanting more.
Yes.
Creating more opportunities to set aside time and experience this. Again, it's a form of mystical experience where you're having an immediate experience of the divine.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I learned so much from creating these topics and these shows and thinking about them. And, you know, really, the other day I was thinking, you know, the point here, many points, but one of the points is we do lead busy lives. There's a lot of activity and noise mm-hmm. around us.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if we have cultivated the inner silence and the peace and the calm and the stability there, it can be really busy on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be engaged with the busyness, but we don't become the busyness. We don't rise into the whole energy of it if it happens to get a little on that frantic side instead mm-hmm. of festive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we can stay calm. And I really felt myself playing with that consciously recently. Something was going on, and I could feel myself kind of riding into the anxiety of the moment mm-hmm. or something. I thought, hold it, pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
You can be present to that person and the situation, but I don't have to. I can touch back into a centered place in myself. It actually worked. It was really helpful.
Sure, and what I'm hearing from you is the difference between sort of being pushed along and then you stop and you have an intention.
Yeah.
So you wake up.
Right.
You wake up to your intention. Is this really the way that I want to be?
Yeah.
And in silence, you have an opportunity to ask those questions.
Right.
In solitude and silence, you have the opportunity for reflection. And one's life can go to a deeper place, more satisfying place. But it doesn't necessarily mean then there are people who are drawn to solitary life, to solitude, to being hermits in a positive and healthy way.
Absolutely.
But that's not for everyone. For what we're talking about is having the opportunity to experience silence that is restoration in an ordinary life where you have responsibilities, family,
where there is noise and activity all around you.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But not losing your stability in your connection with yourself and with whatever is sacred to you that you want to be in communion with.
And that keeps you stable, grounded, present, and in your highest place.
Right, right.
And that's the golden connection, right?
That's the golden connection.
That's what silence brings and helps us connect into and keeps us there because that's a much more comfortable place to be than, you know, riding the tide of every little emotion that comes along in every situation that
being blown this way and that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's where we're going. That's the idea, right?
Our hope.
That's our hope. You know, we're coming to a close here. I'd hope to talk a little bit more about the Quakers, but I think we have brought some of that in. I love that you had mentioned the gathered silence, just some of these terms, a listening silence that is part of a meeting. And I just mentioned this because this can be applied anywhere in our lives.
Yes.
You know? I think you call the worship silent, expectant, waiting worship.
Right.
This is something I can try tomorrow morning in my sitting practice, right? Any of us can think silent and expectant. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So these are the important points. You know, we don't have to separate stillness. Silence and stillness don't have to be the same thing. We can do a walking meditation. We can do a contemplative active practice. And we are essentially just working for that golden connection. Not just. That's the big ticket.
Right.
Becky, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wonderful. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's an important topic to discover and explore and discuss. And so, friends, Creating a Spirited Life will be back next month on the third Sunday of the month, as always, which will be December 20th at 8 p.m. I want to thank Becky Phipps. I want to thank my producer tonight, David, who has done a great job for us. And I thank all of you for listening, being a part of the conversation. Have a blessed time full of grace and meaning. I'm Janet Kesenick, and I'll see you here next time on Creating a Spirited Life.
A spirited life happens moment by moment, one experience at a time. With the right perspective, each encounter is meaningful, brings purpose and satisfaction, and moves us on the path toward the life we're meant to live. Join Janet Kesenick for Creating a Spirited Life every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Learn more by finding Janet on Facebook and on her website, spiralenergies.com. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.